أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد أفإن مت فهم الخالدون. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented logical, rational argument to counter the statements and claims made by the mushrikeen, the polytheists, who claimed that Allah had taken the angels as daughters, and also to counter and to respond to the arguments of the Christians who said that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God, and that of the Jews who said that Uzair alayhi salam was the son of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them logical, rational arguments. Okay, and we discussed all of those in the previous ayat. They had no responses to these arguments, obviously. So they now wished for the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wished for his demise, and they wished that he was no more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next few ayat, he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayah number 34 of Surah Anbiya, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not conferred immortality on any human being before you. No human being lived on this earth before you who enjoyed immortality. So they had Anbiya, they had prophets who passed away. The Christians, they themselves believed that their Anbiya and their prophets had died. So we have not made for any individual and for any human being immortality before you. So they argued that if you are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why is it that you are going to taste death? And you are also going to experience death the way we are going to experience death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Afa in mitta," and even they have wished for you to die. You are going to die, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You too will experience death. Like every other human being, you too will die. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "But fa in mitta fa humul khalidun." If you die, they are wishing for your death, and they are wishing that you are no more. If you are to die, are they going to remain forever? Are they going to, they also have to die. They also have to leave this world, and they have to face the consequences of akhirah. So what point is there in wishing for your death and wishing that you are completely removed from earth? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kullu nafs da'iqatul maut." Every nafs will taste death. Every nafs. First let us study the word nafs. Allah says every nafs. Nafs refers to the soul. So it's referring to every living creature on planet earth that has within it life, that has within it nafs, that has within it the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says every such creature, every such creation of Allah will indeed experience death. What about the creations that exist in the heavens? So you have, for example, the malaika of Allah, Azza wa Jal. You have the Hur al-Ain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in paradise. You have the ghilman, the servants of paradise who will serve the people of Jannah. What about those creations? Will they also experience death? According to many of the scholars, they are excluded from the general rule. So they will not experience death. Death will not come upon them. Yes, there are those who say that when the trumpet will be blown, then momentarily all the angels will also die. And all the angels will also perish. And it will only be Allah who remains, and then He will bring them back all to life. The soul is a very subtle living thing that exists within the body and that is created from life. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he explains the nature of the soul. He says it's a very subtle living thing that created from life and that has been inserted and injected into this body that carries it. Imagine it to be like the scent in the rose, the scent within the rose. There is the rose, and within the rose there is a scent that exists within it. imagine the relationship between the body and the soul to be like that between the rose and its scent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses a unique expression here. He says, every soul, ذَائِقَة, will taste death. He didn't say, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تَمُوتْ, every soul will die. He says, every soul will taste death, ذَائِقَة. Allah uses this term to highlight the fact that there is agony in death. There is pain in death. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, experienced that agony. There was agony because you are extracting, imagine the relationship. They have been conjoined and they have been combined together and coexisting for years. And now you are extracting, like you're extracting the juice. There's some difficulty. You are extracting the scent from the rose. There's a process. There is difficulty, and that is da'iqa. That difficulty, that pain, that extraction process of the soul from the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as tasting of death. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in Sakarat and he experienced the pangs of death. And as he was in the last few moments of his life, he had a dish of water next to him and he was taking a cloth and soaking it in that water and he was rubbing it over his head. And he says, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَّكَرَاتِ, there is pain, there is agony, there are pangs in death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points that out to us, that ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, you are going to taste the pains and the agony of death. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will test you in this world with both situations. Many of us, we only consider a bad situation, we consider a tragedy, we consider a calamity, we consider an illness or a disease to be a test, and we do not consider comfort, luxury, and health to be a test. But Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, we are going to test you بِشَرْ, with the bad things in life. Bad things are tests from Allah. Right? So you have the outbreak of a disease, you have illnesses, you have fear, you have crime, you have hunger, you have poverty. All the bad things, these are tests from Allah. And during that test, what are you required to do? You are required to endure, persevere, turn to Allah. So that's your test. In that situation, what are you going to do and how are you going to react? That is the test. It's a fitna. Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً, as a test. And then وَالْخَيْرِ as well, good situations, good health, and wealth, and good things in life, in terms of comfort, in terms of luxury, in terms of food, in terms of all the good things in life, that is also a test. That is also a test. During that test, you are required to turn to Allah by giving thanks and being obedient. So that's the reaction over here, and that's the reaction over there. Some of the pious have said that it is easier for us to persevere and to endure sabr in the face of calamity than to be obedient and thankful in prosperity and happiness. Because it's very easy to forget Allah during comfort, happiness, prosperity. A person generally forgets Allah. So that is also a test. Both situations are a test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. So it's the test. And Allah says, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and to us alone will you all be returned. Meaning to receive the result. You have to go back to get your results. Whenever you go through a test or whenever you write a test and there's an examination, you have to go back to collect your results. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the tests and you will all come back to us in order to receive the results of the test that you were required to encounter. May Allah grant us the understanding.